Hey everyone, this is your host Samantha Davis, and welcome to the first episode of You Can Eat What? Today we're going to be talking about how you can and should eat flowers. In this episode, I'm going to dive into the history of edible flowers, their extensive benefits, and the specific details on four different flowers that have most likely been in or around your very house. Now, I must warn you, you cannot, and I repeat, cannot, just waltz into your local grocery store or florist, pick up a bouquet, bring it home, and munch on the flowers in it. Unfortunately, it does not work like that. So, I will also be going over some other rules about eating flowers, so make sure you stick around until the end. To start us off, let's talk about where the seemingly crazy idea of eating flowers even came from. The act of eating flowers has actually been around for a very long time, and I don't mean the last 50 or 100 years. I mean since ancient times, particularly ancient China. There, edible flowers were used as a part of herbal cuisine, as flavor enhancers, and as garnishes. Ancient Romans also used violets and roses in various dishes, and lavender in sauces. It doesn't stop there either. Flowers were a part of the normal human diet in medieval France, Victorian England, and are still regularly eaten today in many places in Asia, such as China, India, Thailand, and Japan. More recently, however, edible flowers have been rapidly gaining popularity across the entire globe. People not only want their food to taste good, but to look good too. And edible flowers give dishes that Instagrammable quality that a lot of people want. Even now, there are cookbooks, magazine articles, scientific studies, and even cooking shows that showcase edible flowers. But the potential of edible flowers reaches far beyond just making food look pretty. They add color, odor, and flavor to food, and they can be cooked and eaten in practically any way you can imagine. They can be eaten fresh, fried, steamed, boiled, crystallized, candied, frozen into ice cubes, made into jellies or teas or wines, and so much more. The possibilities are quite endless when it comes to eating flowers, and it allows for the creation of some truly beautiful and tasty dishes. If I haven't already convinced you to try adding some flowers into your diet, then I have even more good news for you. Flowers are really, really good for you. According to a scientific study, flowers have the potential to be a functional food. What is a functional food, you might ask? By definition, a functional food is a conventional food that is consumed as part of a usual diet and is demonstrated to have physiological benefits and/or reduce the risk of chronic disease beyond basic nutritional functions. Basically, this definition just means that flowers can be consumed regularly and have a high nutritional value that helps keep our bodies healthy. One of the largest benefits of edible flowers is that they contain huge amounts of antioxidants. Now, you may have heard of antioxidants before because they are most commonly found in foods such as dark chocolate, berries, coffee, and green tea, and vitamins E and C are considered antioxidants. But what do they do exactly? Antioxidants actively fight a compound in our bodies called free radicals in order to keep them at a healthy level. If these free radicals get to be at too high of a level, they can start harming our cells, and they have been linked to illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. So you can see why having antioxidants in your food is such a good thing. And it is one of the reasons why edible flowers are so great. Due to the antioxidants in edible flowers, studies have shown that they can even help with chronic illnesses I mentioned before. And if antioxidants weren't enough, edible flowers also contain proteins, carbs, lipids, fiber, vitamins, essential amino acids, and so much more healthy goodness. If you haven't guessed it already, all of these healthy compounds in edible flowers lead to numerous healthy benefits. Researchers have observed edible flowers to have anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, and antiviral properties. Edible flowers have also been found to be a diuretic, which reduces your blood pressure. So not only do flowers look and taste good, but they are crazy good for you too. Why wouldn't you want to eat them? Now, I know everything I've talked about so far has been about edible flowers in general, so let's take a deep dive into some specific flowers, which I know is what all of you have been waiting for. Okay, have all of you taken your guesses as to what the first flower is going to be? If not, you are about to find out. It's the hibiscus flower. These beautiful flowers are believed to have originated in East Asia and now grow all around the world, mainly in tropic and subtropic regions. Hibiscus flowers have a tart, cranberry-like taste, and both the large flowers and their leaves can be eaten. In Papua New Guinea, hibiscus flowers are usually pickled and the leaves are cooked. In some parts of Africa, hibiscus leaves are used in a relish, and in the Pacific Islands, these flowers are usually eaten in salads. Hibiscus flowers can also be made into a tea and have shown to have a whole slew of medical benefits. In 10 different countries around the world, hibiscus tea is used to treat hypertension, aka high blood pressure, with no reported adverse side effects. Studies have even shown that hibiscus tea was so good at lowering blood pressure that it was just as effective as the common blood pressure medication, captopril. I can just imagine the day where instead of having to take a pill for high blood pressure, I can just lay back and sip on some hibiscus tea. Hypertension isn't the only thing that hibiscus is good for either. This miraculous flower, like most flowers, is also rich in antioxidants, and it has shown to help with reducing cholesterol as well. However, you should know that hibiscus tea and any other dishes with hibiscus as the main ingredient cannot be consumed in high doses because it can negatively affect your kidney and liver function. So eating hibiscus in low amounts is good for you, but in high amounts, not so much. So don't sit down and eat a whole platter of hibiscus flowers because it might not end well for you. Now that we have dug up all the tasty details about the hibiscus, let's move on to our next edible flower. Next up are chrysanthemums. Who would have thought that these popular autumn flowers could be on your dinner plate instead of your front porch? Chrysanthemums are native to China, but as you probably already know, have been introduced all around the world. Typically, only the flower heads and petals are eaten rather than the leaves, and can be parboiled, seasoned with vinegar or soya sauce, served as a salad with tofu, prepared as tempura, pickled, dried, or added to soups. For example, chrysanthemum petals are used in a snake meat soup made in China to add a tangy, bitter, and peppery flavor. In Japan, the flowers are often used to garnish sashimi, and in Korea, they are used to flavor wines. Also in Korea, there is a tradition of eating chrysanthemums to treat insomnia, and scientific investigations have proved that chrysanthemums are, in fact, a really good sleep enhancer. Not only that, but chrysanthemums also battle hypertension, like the hibiscus flower, are great sources for antioxidants, and are an anti-inflammatory. Lab testing on rats has even shown that the compounds in chrysanthemum flowers may have anti-HIV and anti-cancer properties. Does this mean that eating chrysanthemums will cure HIV or cancer? No, but it does open a really interesting path for further testing and the future of modern medicine. Next in line on our list of flavorful flowers is one of the most iconic flowers of all, the rose. As you probably know, roses are a very popular gift and are a staple scent in skincare products and candles. But did you know that you can actually eat them? Only the petals of this flower can be eaten though, and they have a very aromatic, floral, and slightly sweet flavor. This classic symbol of romance originated in the Middle East, but is insanely popular in many countries, particularly the United States. Rose petals can be eaten raw, mixed into fruit or green salads, dried and added to granola or mixed herbs, infused into beverages, jellied, added to sugar or butter, etc., etc., etc. You really can't go wrong when adding roses to a dish, or to your diet in general. Rose oil has been shown to be both a physiological and a psychological relaxant, as well as a pain reliever and an anxiety reducer. It doesn't end there either. Scientific research has found that rose oil can also act as an antidepressant, and so far, there have been no adverse side effects reported in human investigations. I'd call that a win-win in my book. So, next Valentine's Day, instead of giving your partner, or yourself, roses in a bouquet, maybe give them as a tasty treat instead. Your body will thank you. Last, but certainly not least, is a flower I definitely did not think that you could eat. It is the tiger lily. These intricate and intensely colorful flowers are native to East Asia, mainly China, Japan, and Korea, but have since become common in the northern and eastern United States, Canada, and New Zealand. Both the bulbs and the flowers of tiger lilies are edible and are usually eaten fresh or cooked in salads, soup rice dishes, or dried and used as a spice for seasoning, and are said to add a very delicate flavor to the dish. The bulbs can also be baked, ground into flour, or pickled. These flowers are typically eaten during the summer because they are said to have a cooling effect. So if you need something to cool you off during a hot summer day, maybe pass up that glass of lemonade for a tiger lily. These flowers are also abundant in antioxidants and are an anti-inflammatory as well as a pain reliever, much like the other flowers on our list. Tiger lilies are also commonly used to treat heart diseases and cardiac pain, and to strengthen the eyelid muscles of those with myopic astigmatism, which is kind of obscure but also really neat. In Korea, tiger lilies are given to treat coughs, sore throats, bronchitis, pneumonia, and they even have sedative effects. Do not, however, give tiger lilies to cats. Under no circumstance should you ever feed your pets any kind of flowers, but tiger lilies are particularly toxic to cats. So spare your feline friends and only feed tiger lilies to yourself, please. Unfortunately, that marks the end of our list of specific edible flowers. However, I encourage you to do some of your own research about what flowers you can eat, because there are a massive amount of them, and you might surprise yourself. Sadly, I do have some more bad news for you. Eating flowers is not a total free-for-all. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, there are some rules that you need to follow, so let's jump into those. First and foremost, know what flower you're eating before you eat it. Some flowers are poisonous, so it is very important that you correctly identify any flowers that you pick yourself before you prepare and eat them. Also, when picking flowers yourself, not only is it super important to correctly identify what it is, but please make sure you do your research about what part of that flower you can and cannot eat, because not all parts of every flower are edible. Secondly, don't eat flowers from florists, garden centers, nurseries, or from the side of the road, because they might be contaminated by pesticides, car pollution, or nasty runoff water, all of which you do not want in your body. Instead, pick the flowers yourself, or get them from a grocery store or specialty shop where they are specifically packaged and labeled for consumption. Next, I feel like this one is common sense, but don't eat flowers that look like they might have a disease or insect damage. Only eat young, healthy, and fresh flowers. This one should also be common sense, but if you are severely allergic to pollen, eating flowers probably is not the best idea. Lastly, the limit of daily consumption of flowers has not been heavily studied, so make sure you eat them in moderation. Simply, you just can't eat flowers all day, every day, no matter how much you might want to. Thus concludes our adventure into the world of edible flowers. If you haven't taken away anything from this episode so far, take away this. Try eating some flowers. You might be surprised by how much you and your body will like them. Thank you all for listening to the first episode of my new podcast. This was your host, Samantha Davis, and I hope you tune in next time.